This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful, as usual.
Well, good, because if you like the polar blast, then today is going to be right up your alley.
Well, you know, I've already had 2 days of this cold.
Yeah.
I mean, 44 and all this, and I don't know what to think.
Yeah.
3 days ago, it was 90-something degrees.
I know it. So strange.
And now it's 45 degrees out.
Yeah, yeah. It's like we were close. We broke a record, I think, on, what was it? I think Wednesday and Thursday hit 97. And I think the previous record was around 95. So it broke the record. So we're almost 100. And today we're going to be lucky if we get half that.
Wow.
I know.
Well, times in Texas, they always say the weather can change in 5 minutes, and it does.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I guess that's the good thing. It adds a little bit of variety and a little spice to our weather life.
And, you know, I bragged the other day and said this is going to be the first time we've had a really warm Easter.
Yeah.
And it may not be warm on Easter. It may be cold.
Well, and if that happens...
People may be wearing coats.
Right. If it happens, though, it's your fault.
It's my fault?
Yeah,
okay.
Because you declared it.
Because I said that.
You jinxed it. Now, the good news is...
You're right.
Today is like the cold day, and I think starting tomorrow, I think it starts to get back up into the 70s, so next week should be pretty nice, I think.
I hope so.
Unless
because
they change
I'm
that.
Yeah. Well, I hope so, because, you know, I don't want to be out there with a long coat on.
I know. You know, but Easter's next weekend, and so, you know, we're staring down the barrel here. It better get warm and stay warm for a long time.
That's right. It's got to get warm, and it's got to get warm in a hurry.
Yeah, it does. So hopefully...
But you know, in Minnesota yesterday, look how many feet of snow they had.
I know. Did you see that? Goodness gracious.
I mean, I looked at that, and the people... couldn't even walk. The wind and everything was so bad there.
Right?
And I'm going, I wouldn't live in that part of the country for anything. They thought, if I'm not mistaken, I heard somebody say something about they might have 30 foot of snow.
Lord, that's too much.
3 foot's too much for me.
Wow.
I can do 6 inches of snow. That's about my limit.
Well, you're about 6 inches more than me.
That's it. And I can actually pass without. It's okay. So I can go on by and I won't say a word.
That is not a requirement.
Not a requirement. I'm going to be doing fine.
Well, hopefully by next weekend it'll be nice and warm, and we'll have a wonderful Easter like you have like you've predicted. And hopefully that'll
That's
be
right.
the case, because, you know, having a nice, warm, preferably sunny Easter is always – it always makes it for a really nice weekend that way.
That's right. And the other thing, you know, you can eat more chocolate, you can eat more ham, more pecan pie.
I don't need any more chocolate. I don't need any more pie. I've already had my Easter candy.
You mean you've already started?
Oh, yeah. I started 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, you're the only person I know that starts on this candy early.
No, yeah.
You do not wait for Easter.
No, you know, you don't want to wait. You know, if too much time goes by, you know, they start to sell out. So you got to get the good stuff early. And if it just
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. You need to get that supply in early.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't
better give out the phone number and keep you off this candy deal.
I know. I'm thinking about chocolate now. Goodness gracious. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. Right next to Ivy Cottage, and they're working the Easter deal, let me tell you.
I'm sure. See, now you got the Easter on the brain, too.
Well, I did once you started talking about it, and I was thinking, imagine chocolate bunnies. You know, and once I started thinking about chocolate bunnies, you know, it's all over.
It's contagious, and we might as well just go and eat some chocolate and take a nap at this point. But this is all about growing your money. See, I mean, you want to retire. You want to retire early if you can. Some people don't, but to have the option is always it's always a nice place to be. You know, and anybody who's got money just laying around, it's not doing any good. There's no reason anybody should have any money anywhere that's not making money. And people think, well, you know, I've got to go out and do something to make more money. I've got to go out and maybe, you know, get another job, or I've got to invent something, or I've got to sell something, or whatever. No, that's not how it works. Your money can make money on top of the money that you already have, and that's really the goal. We often talk about, you know, getting ready for retirement, and that, yes, that's the ultimate goal. But if you can start making more money by doing nothing, even early in life, whether it's your 30s or your 40s, golly, that just, I mean, who wouldn't want to make more money on top of more money, right?
I don't know. You'd have to be out of your head if you didn't.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you never have too much. It's like a lot of other things in life. It's one of those commodities that we need, and you cannot retire without it. If you do, you know, you're going to be in serious trouble. Nobody could live on Social Security. I don't even hear people hardly use that when they talk about retirement.
Oh, yeah.
That's just kind of a bonus. It's not the main topic, because they know that's not going to be the main topic that's going to get them by.
Yeah, I think
so. When people talk, they talk about their income. What kind of retirement income can we get? How do we get to that place? Well, you have to have interest income at all times coming in. So that's why people put their money with us. And every time we do a life insurance policy, when it matures, you know, that's just that much more interest that they're getting on their money.
Yeah. And that's really the goal. It's you know, you have to make as much money as you can as early as possible. Now, I know that a lot of people wait. They procrastinate. You say this all the time, that the biggest hurdle people get to as far as planning for retirement is the procrastination. And I understand why we do it. You know, the more people we talk to, it's like you understand, okay, it's retirement is not fun. You're planning for something that's far off in the future. You know, I can't really see that far ahead. They don't grasp the concept of, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, however far away retirement may be for each person. You know, that's down the road. I'll deal with it later. It's not something I can see right now. It's not tangible. I'm not there. I don't have to worry about it yet. But the goal is to start not necessarily worrying about it, but start thinking about it now. Start planning it now, because you can make more money earlier. And so if, say, somebody's in their 30s or their 40s, you know, and they start investing now, they start, you know, maybe getting a little bit further away from the stock market, or, you know, whatever the case may be. As long as they're growing their money in a conservative manner, you've got more time. And anytime you have more time, you can make more money. You've also got that room so that, you know, if something comes up, if there's some kind of an emergency, some kind of a medical issue or something, you've got more money, more resources to work with. And so that's really the goal. It's not always about, oh, it's so far away, you know, I can't even think about it. Well, let's put it in something a little bit more tangible, something that's a little bit closer to the here and now, because we do live in a here and now society. And so to start making more money now on top of the money that you've already got, on top of the money that you're already making, that's the ultimate goal. But when it comes to retirement planning, it's a strategy. And this is something that has to happen over several years.
That's right, and we're not going to ever tell you we're going to make you rich real quick. That isn't going to happen, but it's a steady income. You know, you're going to get your interest every time a policy matures, and that will add up. It takes a few years, but it adds up every year. And if you're making, you know, 12% or 18% on a policy, whatever it is, that insurance company will pay you your money. Every time. They're not going to discount it. They're not going to say, well, let's roll the dice. Whatever the amount of the insurance claim is, they pay 100%. That's what I like. We always know how much the insurance company is going to pay, because we bought that policy and we bought the face amount. So we're going to get the face amount when that policy matures and it goes into their account. So it's never one of those deals, sort of like the stock market, where you're not sure how much you're getting back. Mm-hmm. You're not sure how much you're going to even make.
Exactly. And so, you know, I think especially as people do get closer to retirement, they feel that whatever that sense is, like, uh-oh, we're getting a little bit closer. We're to that point. We've crossed that line now, as though if something happens in the stock market, which, and we use that as an example because this is what a lot of people do. It's the traditional investment route that most people take. It's like, okay, I'm going to, you know, put my money in Wall Street and it'll be fine. And hopefully we won't have another 2008, fingers crossed. And it's not practical as people get closer to retirement. They feel that itch. They cross that line of, okay, at this point, if something happens, if the stock market crashes again, if we have another 2008, what are we going to do? How long is it going to take to recover from that? And when you're investing from a defensive standpoint, you're not really taking a whole lot of proactive steps towards your retirement. You're just kind of going on a wing and a prayer, and that's not always really the best route to take. For some people, that's fine if they can afford to be up at night with the anxiety of wondering, my gosh, is there anything left in my portfolio? That's fine, I suppose. If people, you know, want to get a little bit more satisfaction out of knowing that, hey, like you said, I am going to get the investment back. I am going to make this percentage. I am going to make it according to the life expectancy in this time frame. Now, sometimes it comes in early, sometimes it comes late, but people know that they're going to make that. And you're not going to get that from any other place. And so investing in a life settlement is really the way that a lot of people have found not only to serve their anxiety and you know, all the nervousness that comes with what could happen, they replace that with a little bit more of a conservative thing. So would you say that is probably the biggest asset of doing a life settlement, is the fact that people know what they're going to get and they don't have to worry about it anymore?
That, to me, that is the best part of it, because we know how much they're going to make. In other words, we're not speculating or giving them we think maybe you'll make this. We know what they're going to get back on that policy. We don't know the exact date. We could be wrong on the date, but we know how much they're going to get. And that reminds me, 21st Services sent me an email this week and said, for the first time, life settlements made more money than all of the stock market last year.
Really?
Life settlements made more money than the stock market.
That is a big deal right there.
It is a big deal. I kept the email because I got that, I believe, on Wednesday from them. And they went over all the years, talked about how life settlements started, you know, how much they made. And then they said, and this year, 18, for the first time, they made a lot more money than what the stock market made. First time.
Do you see that as being a trend that's going to continue for the next several years?
I think so, because let me tell you what they said. All these people that are turning 65 are going to need, a majority are going to need to sell their life insurance policy.
Really?
And they're talking about the 65-year-olds. They've been doing all these case studies lately on all the different people and their life insurance policies and what's going to happen with them and whether they're going to be able to keep them or whether they're going to sell them. And apparently they think that the majority of them, if they have health issues, that's the other thing. They said they have the average person hasn't saved but $150,000. That's why when they get sick, the life insurance is going to be the first thing that goes.
Yeah, if all you've got is $150,000 saved up in the bank, it could be some trouble, especially if you're in your mid-60s, because that can get wiped out in a big hurry. You know, sicknesses can happen. People can be diagnosed with cancer, whatever the case may be. And so, yeah, like you say, the life insurance policy is the first thing that people sell because they can get the biggest chunk of money the fastest by selling it. And that's where you come in, because when you're buying life insurance policies as an investment for people to get involved in, you're looking at very specific types of cancer. You're looking at stage 4 cancer, and it's not just anybody who is, you know, randomly sick or doesn't feel good, or even stage 2 or 3 cancer. You're looking specifically for stage 4 cancer. And why so targeted?
Well, if it's not stage 4, they probably have got a long time to live. If it's like a stage one or stage two, you know, they may live for some time. But we know that if it's stage four, it's terminal. Mm-hmm. And therefore, our clients will make more because they could turn their money a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
And that's the whole deal. Now, what amazes me, this week I did a pancreatic cancer. Well, most of the time those are, you know, 18 months and they die in 9. This time they said it was 37 months. I had two people who didn't go in that policy. They thought it was too long. But remember, a lot of these pancreatic cancers, it may look long, but you know they always come in early. I've never had pancreatic cancer that didn't. So it'll be interesting to see. But everybody else jumped right in it. We filled that thing in one day.
Wow.
And, yeah. And right now, that's the way it's working most of the time. We're filling a policy in one day. And that reminds me, the Burrell policy matured this week. Now, Burrell is one of those old policies, and we've had it a long time, and it did mature this week.
Wow, cool.
And
I know.
It was almost $1 million.
Oh, my goodness. So it was a big one.
Yes, it was. And a lot of people had a lot of money in it. So they're getting paid. The next 6 to 8 weeks, they should have their money. So, you know, these things, like I tell people, all policies are going to mature. All these policies are going to come due. And it's just a matter of time. Everything is timing on this.
Well,
you're still going to get your money. You always get your principal. You always get your interest. And you don't always get that back if you're in the stock market.
You know, that's a good point. I don't think you've ever put it like that before. Every policy is going to mature. There's literally no way that it can't. And so it's a very interesting perspective. I guess it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I never thought about that before. We talk about stage four all the time and how terminal it is. We talk about the metrics involved. We talk about, you know, yes, a lot of times these do come in early. We know the research that's been going on for years and years. We know how deadly stage four cancer is. And so we know that that those are going to mature fairly quickly. And so with this one that you're talking about, the 37-month pancreatic cancer, why are they saying it's so late? Why the 37 months?
Thing they were able to operate, mm-hmm. and you know, it always gives you at least 2 years if they can resect it. Most of ours you cannot resect because it's on that little line there, that seam. If it's on that seam, they don't dare do it. It's over. But this one, they had done that. And so they said, well, you know, it's not dire. They didn't think it was just immediate like most of ours are. But I bought it because I believe it will come in, you know, maybe 24 months or 20 months. Not 37, I can tell you that. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that.
It seems like a very long expectancy. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like at one point, and it may be a couple of weeks or a couple of months ago, that you had said that it seems like their life expectancies are getting a little bit more conservative. Does that still apply, and does that apply to this case?
Yes, it does, because they are, and they've sent us, emails out that they're refiguring this, that they're going to be more conservative on that. But I don't think it'll make any difference because I think it's still going to come in like it ought to, mm-hmm. you know?
And so when they're getting more conservative with their life expectancy, it hasn't changed. They're not doing that because necessarily, you know, it's taking longer for these policies to mature. They're doing it, I guess, to add more bumper space in between to kind of pad the LE, or why would
I think they're saying we're going to give them a few more months. Instead of 24 months, we're going to make that 30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to be more conservative with our answers, okay. Even though they're sitting there looking at the doctor's statements on it, you know.
But the policies are still maturing in the same amount of time, though.
I think they are. Because, you know, last week we did a study. We went back and looked how many policies came in early, what percentage they made, and the average was 26% all the ones that matured early.
That's amazing.
So that's a pretty good average, 26%.
So it's great, yeah. So
and then we had a lot of them that were really early, as you know, what was it, a month ago we had that lady that died that hadn't had it but 2 months.
I know it. That was like super early.
That was super early. And again, they missed it. You can't always tell how sick these people are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, when it says that they've stopped all treatment, then I know that's going to be a short deal. And I bid those pretty hard, because if they've stopped all treatment, the cancer hadn't stopped. It's just them.
Yeah.
So the cancer is going to go marching right on. So, you know, they need some help pretty quick, you know, in order to be able to pay all these medical bills.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, I've told you, it's $100,000 a month now.
Yeah.
It used to be. But they've got all this new treatment. They're charging a fortune for it. And I don't know if it's going to save any lives or not. It's too soon to tell.
Yeah, so far it sounds like the numbers aren't there. It sounds like, yeah, the policies are still maturing in the same amount of time. And I think that the thing that people should realize here is we kind of bounce these numbers around a little bit. As doctors are saying, the life expectancies are going longer. What that means for the investor anyway is that, okay, instead of having policy X, which normally maybe 6 months or a year ago might have been projected to go, say, 24 months, just say. And then now all of a sudden, that same policy is being projected to go, say, 30 months. What that means is that you're going to get 1% a month. That's the goal. So now you're going to get 30%. But if the policy is still maturing in the same amount of time, or even if it's one of those policies that comes in early, that just means you're going to get a higher profit percentage, but you're going to get it in the same amount of time or earlier. And so that's how these numbers really translate into the investor. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it is. Because if it comes in the length of time we think it will, you're just going to make a little bit more money a little bit shorter time. And it may go out that far. We don't know. We're going to have to have a wait-and-see attitude. If they add 4 months or 6 months to it, is it going to go out that long? Or is it going to go like it always has of certain kinds of cancer?
Mm-hmm.
Because as you know, the ones that come in the soonest with us anyway is the breast cancer and colon cancer.
Right.
And sometimes they may have colon cancer with advanced stages. It's in, you know, 5 other places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then of course this year, we've had the tongue and tonsil cancer that we've never had before.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think in those cases, I think it's a smoking problem that's causing that.
Yeah. And I like how you're always studying the metrics. You know, you've noticed trends like these oral types of cancers have really started to accelerate in diagnoses in the last, you know, couple of years. I also like how you still, you know, you're on top of, you know, treatments. You're on top of the metrics. You're on top of, you know, new maybe experimental treatments that may be coming out. You're looking at the fact that, yes, life expectancies are going a little bit longer, but how is that affecting the actual policy mature date? You know, is that extending out in proportion, or is it staying the same? I like how you're continually studying these numbers, and so you're not always just kind of like taking somebody's word for it and just say, we'll look at it again in 5 years. No, you're looking at it, you know, on practically a day-to-day basis. You're looking at these things to see what's happening, what are the trends. And so when people come to you and they say, hey, Faye, I've never done this before, this sounds really interesting to me, I'm tired of the stock market, I want to get into something that's a little bit more conservative, this is really interesting, but, you know, I'm not sure about, you know, these longer life expectancies. I like how you can give people an answer and say, yeah, well, this is what's happening so far. You know, we're on top of these numbers, we're watching these things. And when you go and you see a policy that may be 30 months or 37 months, like you were talking about earlier, you're still able to pull up those policies. You're still able to look at them and say, okay, this person has done this, this person has not done this, this person is in this much pain, they're on this much kind of medicine. And so bottom line is, those things that you look at, they don't change between, you know, no matter what the life expectancy, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like no matter what the life expectancy is, it doesn't seem like those factors that you're looking at, they don't change. Is that pretty accurate?
No, I don't think they change. And if they do, you know, we would notice it. But, you know, you've got to look at how much pain medication they're taking. And that, we don't usually get a report that says it's a 10 or a 9 on the pain scale. And we actually got one the other day that said, you know, this is a 9 as far as pain.
Really?
So, you know, we reacted immediately to that. We know if it's that bad, this person won't last very long.
Yeah.
And but we always look to see if there, how many cancer medications they're on, and then we look to see how much pain medication they're on. If they're obese, all these other factors really make a change whether you're going to survive or you're going to last. And then when they go and say, we're going to seek alternate treatment, I am on that immediately, because alternate treatment is nice. It spares you the pain of the chemo, but it won't save your life.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that we know about anyway. There may be somebody they're saving, but it's not anybody that I've heard of.
Yeah.
Because you know, we do this every day on this alternate treatment. And they always go take alternate treatment, and then these are those breast cancer policies that come in early, you know. And because people will go anywhere. They'll do the orange juice deal. They'll do the oil on you, everything. But it's not going to save your life.
Yeah.
I just don't think it will.
Yeah, and I think that's also a key as well, is that you don't just take anybody's word for it. You're not just looking at one or two things. There are a number of key indicators that you're looking at, and it really gives people... especially you, when you're debating whether or not to bid on it, but also for you know, the investor that may want to you know, get involved in you know, any policy at any time, they have this information as well. And so there's a number of key indicators that really give you I guess a full spectrum. It gives you a big picture of what's really going on, so that you can understand, and when people come in, they can understand. And so when people like invest for like maybe their first time, or maybe even their second time investing in a life settlement, do they look at all this and they say, yeah, Faye, this makes sense? Or do they have typically have some standard questions that says, okay, well, I see they went and did the orange juice diet in the Netherlands. You know, do they have a set number of questions, or do they understand it right off the bat?
Well, their questions usually are not about that. Their questions are usually, you know, how many months does a policy last? You know, how am I notified? How do I know that it's right? And then we tell them about the doctors that give us the reports. It's not a report from Faye Bagby. It's from, you know, doctors that have gotten a copy of every medical record. People don't realize a lot of the medical records on these people is 500 pages.
Wow.
I mean, there's a lot to it. So they have to sift through all that. They go through all that. Then they give us the report. And then I go over this report and pick it apart to see if this is the right policy. I turned down a policy this week. They swore it was 20 months. I said, it's not 20 months. That person's going to live a lot longer than that. I said, it's just not for us. We're not going to do it. I bid a 13-month policy, but I turned the 20 down because it was not as good as one of my 30 months.
So, and I'm sure you probably don't have it in front of you, and I may be putting you on the spot, and I apologize if I am, but what about that 20-month? Because right off the bat, and not ever, you know, looking at a report before, being on the outside looking in, I'm saying, wow, 20 months, that's really great. I'm going to get my money in less than 2 years. In theory, that would be the initial reaction. I know it doesn't work that way, but I would say, without looking at the report, that sounds great. They said it was great. So what did you see in there, as best as you can recall, what did you see in there that said, no, I'm gonna pass on this. This is not good.
It said one thing, no progression.
Mm.
We cannot see anything at this time.
Wow.
They've had all this treatment. Now they say, we can't see the cancer. Bull, if you can't see the cancer, we're not getting near that policy.
And they still went for 20 months.
And they still were saying it's 20 months, and yet they cannot see the progression. And since they've had all the chemo and all this other, they just don't see it. And yet they're saying she's going to die in 20 months. I don't believe that.
Wow. And so I,
because in reality, what it says to me, it's actually in remission, and they're not saying that.
Yeah. Do they try to leave out words sometimes, you know, like the word remission? If you see that, obviously red flags go off. Do they try to, like, maybe change the way they do the report to try to maybe
slip
something
through?
No, we try
not to even look at one if it says remission. They try not to send me any if it says remission because they know it's a dead deal right there. But that's like that 84-year-old the other day had really bad cancer. But she was 84 years old. They said, Faye, she doesn't have it 12 months. I said, I don't care. An 84-year-old will make it. I guarantee that 84-year-old will make a comeback, and we'll be looking at things at 95. We, as you know, we don't want to do that anymore.
You know,
and so I turned it down flat. It was a large policy, you know, over $1 million.
You know, and that is so, it's so contradictory to, I think, the stereotype that, that people say, wow, the older you get, the sicker you get, and that's just doom and gloom all the way around. And that's not the case, because you've seen this time and time again. You have the numbers to back this up, and I think that's why your perspective on this is so unique and so spot on. It's because you've studied the numbers. You haven't just kind of like willy-nilly said, yeah, I guess, sure, somebody gets older, yeah, they get sicker, they're going to go faster. No! You have numbers that prove otherwise, and that's why you say when somebody is in their 80s or 84, 85 years old, even though they have cancer, they're tough people. Their bodies are able to fight these things, even though a lot of us on the outside think, ah, you know, their immune systems are weak and they can't do it. But you literally have numbers that say otherwise, right?
Well, and that's another thing. If they say the person has been playing golf, has resumed their golf game, I am not buying that policy.
No.
If it says they're back on the golf course, I go, what in the heck? Do you think me, I'm going to believe all this? No, I'm not going to believe anything they say.
Yeah.
Because if you're not sick enough to come off the golf course, you're not sick enough for me, let me tell you. I'm just not going to do it.
I know people that won't play golf if they have so much as a sniffle in the morning. And so, you know, if somebody's got stage 4 cancer and it's serious and they're in rough shape, they're not going to be out on the golf course. They're going
to
be on the
pain
medicine.
No, they're too sick to be in the golf course.
Yeah.
But when it said, well, they've had all this treatment, and now they have resumed at the golf course. I don't want to know about that. I need to stay away from that person.
That's a flat no thank you. Wow.
But you know, the ones that we've had that came in early this year, you know, you could not tell that it was going to come in early except for the facts on it. And if you look at the facts, you say, you know, I believe this thing is less than 30. And that one, well, I had three that came in early that I bought that was 30 months. It came in 12 months or less.
Mm.
One came in 9 months. And I looked at those and said, it's not as long as they say, because you look at all the treatment they've had. And another thing, if it's a recurring cancer, they're not going to be with us long.
Yeah.
Because remember, if they've already had it once and it came back, what does that tell you? It is spread everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in the ribs. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's in the liver. It's just everywhere. So, and when they say it's metastasized to two or three other locations, I'm on it. Because I'm a firm believer, if it's already metastasized to other locations, you can't possibly get rid of it. It's just too much.
It's too spread far and wide to
That's
battle
right.
it.
Yeah,
so,
and you can't do it.
You know, when you look at these policies and they say, well, it's going to come in 30 months, and you say, no, I don't believe it's going to be 30 months. I believe it's going to be, you know, 18 or whatever the case may be. You're not just flipping a coin or guessing or, you know, depending on whatever you had for lunch, that's not how you're determining that. You're actually looking at these numbers. You're looking at these reports in a lot of detail. And the great thing is that when people come in to invest in these policies, they can see these same numbers. So they they obviously can go through what you've seen. You can explain what you're looking at. Here's what we think. This policy is going to come in early or at least on time. It's definitely not going to go this far is what they say because of this factor, this factor, this factor, this factor. And so when people can, you know, can come in and they can see the policy, they see these reports and they can understand before they get into it what they're getting into and why it's such a good policy. And that's another aspect of why this has been working for so many years for so many people. This is Your Money with Fag Bagby. Your phone number is?
Our phone number is 877-588-3330. And we're 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia, and you always bring fun, interesting things to the table. So what's the topic this morning?
It's going to be about Bob Wills, the country singer.
Ooh.
I don't know if you remember Bob Wills.
Yep.
Bob Wills was one of the greatest swing singers, I think, that ever lived.
Yeah.
He was from Turkey, Texas.
Turkey, Texas.
That's in the Panhandle. It's in the Panhandle, not far from you. Turkey, Texas is known as the Western swing capital of the world. How about that?
Really? It's registered.
Yes. Now, it was called originally Turkey Roost for Turkey Creek, and they had all those turkeys out there. Now, the settlers came out there in 1890, and then they shortened the name. Their post office was in a dugout. Can
really?
You imagine? Yes. It was in a dugout, and later, of course, the town was making progress, and it got out of the dugout.
Yeah, got out of the dugout.
Got out of the dugout. But now Bob Wills was born there. He was a barber in Turkey, Texas in the 20s. And he said that the reason that he did so good was that all those lotions and on his hands and things, his fingers, kept his fingers pliable to play the fiddle.
Really?
And I wouldn't even have thought about that.
No, me neither.
And then later he formed the Texas Playboys, his band that became so famous with him. And every year they have a big to-do in Turkey, Texas, and that's coming up. And it's going to be April 25th and April 26th, and a big deal. They're going to have bands there. They're going to have some people that call themselves the Bob Wills Texas Playboys.
Cool.
And we don't know who they are. But they'll have a dance. They're going to have a parade in his honor. And the other thing they have out in Turkey, Texas, they've got this huge memorial. I don't know how tall it is. It looks to me like it's, I want to say 30 or 40 feet tall.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
At the top of it, it's got a fiddle on the top of the monument.
Wow, that's huge.
It is. And can you imagine a town that loved him so much that they'd put this big monument up with a fiddle on it?
I was thinking you were going to say maybe 9 or 10 feet, but to be 30
well,
feet?
I know it's more than 9 or 10 feet.
Wow.
But do you remember some of his famous things? It was Ida Red, which I loved. Take Me Back to Tulsa, Way Down Texas, Way in San Antonio Rose. That was one of his songs.
Uh-huh.
And that's a really famous one. And then one of my favorites was Stay All Night and Stay a Little Longer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was really a swing song. And it's just amazing all the songs that he made famous. And another one was Spanish Two-Step.
Mm-hmm.
And it spent 16 weeks at number one.
That was a big one.
That was a big one. And, he became very famous. But he was a small-town boy, and they celebrate him every year in Turkey, Texas. And, it's not far from us out there. Not mm-hmm. far at all. Turkey's close. So that's something people could go and do, spend the day out there. Go to the dances, that'd take you back a long way.
Yeah.
And listen to good music and see the parade. The concert's free, the parade's free. Now, the Saturday night dance costs $20.
Really? Well, you can't beat that.
You can't beat that. And they have an old fiddler's contest. They'll have a barbecue cook-off because you know how everybody loves their barbecue.
You love barbecue. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they'll be out there competing on that barbecue. But that's something everybody could go and see. And if they remember Bob Wills, or even if they don't remember him, go and see all his music. There's a museum there, a Bob Wills museum.
Is there really?
Oh, yes. They have a big museum of all of his things, which is just a lot to do if you take a day, you know, a weekend and go see all this and do it.
Wow.
And so, you know, I think, you know, it's Thursday and Friday, April 25th and 26th. And, of course, the parade is earlier in the day, but all these other things would be great on a Friday night to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, Saturday, then go on Saturday and go to the museum and do all this other. They have a little hotel there.
Really?
The Turkey Hotel.
The Turkey Hotel.
But one of the outfits will be Jake Hooker and the Outsiders. They're going to play. And Tommy Hooker will be playing. And Daryl McCall. Just a lot of good music to listen to. The old way of dancing, you know, country swing.
Good stuff.
And, another thing they have in Turkey, they have an old filling station, an old Phillips 66 station.
Really? The kind where you pull up and you run over the thing and it goes ding, ding?
Oh, it didn't even do that back then. It did not. I don't think they even had the ding, ding. It had the two little small fuel pumps. Really old, and that's a good thing to see. Everything there is old. I mean, you're not going to find a lot of new stuff in Turkey, Texas.
Wow. How cool. It sounds like a step back in time, like a time warp.
I think it is a time warp. It is a step back in time.
Wow. How cool is that?
I think it's really a cool thing to do, to go back and see all this, to hear the old music that these guys made popular. And I can't even imagine, of course, that he worked in the barbershop, and that's how he started out. It kept his fingers pliable with all those lotions where he could fiddle. I wouldn't even thought of that.
Yeah, I know. I would have never associated the two. You know, and it's amazing that you know, a guy like Bob Wills, you know, he made music from the 30s up to the 70s, wasn't it? I mean, he died in what, mid-70s, something, 74, 75?
Well, in the 40s is when, most of the 40s is when some of these really became popular.
Yeah.
You know, but I loved all these things. Like San Antonio Rose, that is still popular to this day.
It is.
A lot of his music is still with us and still really popular.
Yeah.
It didn't fall off like I've read about some musicians in the 60s or whatever it was, 50s, and they just passed on into oblivion.
Yeah.
You know, their music wasn't good enough to keep them on the mainstream.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not like you can find, you know, artists like this or singers or musicians or anything from, you know, from that long ago that are still celebrated today. People still remember songs, you know, like Roly Poly, Stay a Little Longer, I'm drawing a blank now, but you know, people still know these songs, and it's amazing. When you know, his music was being written, you know, I'm sure it never crossed his mind that in 2019 people
That's
would
right.
still be talking about him and his music and going to festivals in his honor and things like that. It's fascinating what transcends through time and what is still relevant and what people are still interested. It's really cool.
And some people like him had so many great songs that everybody remembers them and still plays them and still likes them. His music was that good.
Yeah.
He wrote a lot of songs and became a very famous musician and along with his band.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, out in Turkey, Texas, 25th and 26th, they will be celebrating Bob Wills Days. And celebrating his life and times, and playing all of his music, and you know, families will be out there celebrating. And I love the parades in a small town. You never know what you'll see in a small town when they have a parade.
Now, that's the truth.
And they always have their fire truck. Do you remember that? They always have the fire truck there at the end, and all the firemen waving to everybody. And they're all volunteers, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
But I've been to a lot of parades, and that last thing is always the fire truck with the firemen on it for the kids.
Yeah, it is really cool. It's really fascinating to just to see those fire trucks and see, you know, the firemen hanging off of them and waving and walking by them. And it's just like, you know, yeah, this is what America is all about, this right here.
That's exactly right. And, you know, your big cities don't have all these things and don't appreciate all this. But, you know, it's something that we need to hang on to,
yeah.
You know, as Americans.
Yeah.
And we need to go back in time and look at the things that really meant something. And music, that's one thing that holds the world together.
Yeah. Back before we had cafes and lattes on every corner.
You know, and I don't drink coffee, so I didn't know a lot about it. But I was talking to somebody the other day. Instead of just having coffee at home in a coffee pot, they have to go to Starbucks. And a Starbucks with all the goodies in it can cost $9 a cup.
Oh, yes.
And I didn't know that because I don't drink coffee. And I go, what? People pay $9 for that? They go, oh, yeah.
You should go sometime and experience it. It's different.
Yes. You know, I just can't imagine. Yeah. You know, I go, holy cow. I thought a cup of coffee was probably $2.50, you know.
Uh-huh.
I just, you know.
If you've never been there before, it'll give you culture shock. I can guarantee that.
the culture shock would probably, you know, really get me going when I saw.
It'll get you going. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
So the point of investing in a life settlement is because, you know, for the most part, it's a much safer, it's a much more conservative type of investment. You know, the value is not going to go down. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of benefits that go along with it as well. Nothing affects a life settlement because, you know, we all know how volatile Wall Street can be sometimes. You know, anything around the world, anything that happens, you know, whether it's directly related to you know, somebody's investment or their portfolio or not, anything can affect it. But with a life settlement, it is its own thing. It's its own entity. Nothing will make the value of the policy go down. Do you find that is a big draw to a lot of people, is the fact that they
it
know?
Is. It's a big draw to people to know how much they're going to make. Mm-hmm. They love the idea that when they go into this, it's in writing. They know how much they're going to make. They've looked at the insurance company. They know, you know, what the rating is on the insurance company. They know they're going to get paid, mm-hmm. and they know this is how much they're going to get, you know, and they know that it's 1% a month. And so people love the idea of knowing how much they're going to make. They're not speculating as to how much they're going to make, and I like that myself, you know, because I can say, okay, this is a 24-month policy. You're going to get 24%.
Mm-hmm. And the math is easy. When people are looking at this, there's not a whole lot of variables. 1% a month for, you know, say 24 months, you know, you're going to get, you take a $100,000 investment, you do the simple math, you're looking at $24,000. And so it doesn't matter if it comes in 24 months or if it comes in early, you're still going to get the full amount. It's really just a waiting game. And I think that's probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just guessing here, but I would guess that's probably the one thing that people, you know, it's like, Faye, has it matured yet? What do I do? You know, it's just the waiting game. It's the patience.
That's right. And you have to have patience. And a lot of times people say, well, I haven't heard anything from you. Well, no, you're not going to hear from us until we get the word, you know, like the Burrell policy yesterday. We sent out an email to all those people and said, your policy is matured. You know, it'll be in your account in 6 to 8 weeks. And that's usually the way that works.
Yeah. No need to spam people. No need to say, hey, nothing's going on. Just want to say, hey, not necessary.
it's not even necessary. But if they want to talk about it, they can always call me and talk about it.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm always available to people to talk to them. They can talk to all the people in my office, but they can also talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they have a concern or if they want to know. A gentleman called yesterday. Well, he said, I just hadn't heard from you. I said, well, we don't usually call you until the policy matures, you know?
Yeah, which is great. I mean, you know, a lot of people are out, you know, living their lives. They don't need to be pestered all the time, but it's nice to know that you're there, you're accessible if they have any questions, if they want to check in, if they want to say, hey, I haven't heard anything, you know, is the policy matured? You'll say no. If when it does, you'll get an email, just check that, blah, 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 and the money gets transferred really easy. It's a very easy, streamlined process, and that's another great benefit of a life settlement is that it doesn't take a whole lot of maintenance. People don't need to constantly be doing anything. And I think people get fidgety sometimes because they're so used to, you know, oh man, I'm in the stock market, you know, I'm going to trade, I'm selling, I'm buying, I'm this and I'm that, and I'm checking my portfolio. There's a lot of interaction. Well, I would imagine people are probably too busy living their life, doing whatever they're doing, whether it's work or whether it's home or, you know, building a business or traveling or vacationing, whatever the case may be, they have other things to do. And I would imagine it probably takes maybe a few minutes for people to get used to the fact that, no, there's not a lot of interaction. You don't have to do all these things anymore. Just set it and forget it. And then really they just wait for it to mature. It's really that easy. Does it take people a long time to get used to that?
I think it takes them over that first time, mm-hmm. you know. I think so. I think, you know, after the first one, they're used to doing it. Because all of our people lately have been bringing more money, putting more money in their accounts because they want to invest more. Because they like what is happening. They like what they're making. So they're saying, you know, I need to put some more money with Faye.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would imagine that's a good change for people. You know, they finally get used to it and they realize, oh, wow, why didn't I do this sooner? So, you know, we've talked about how wonderful a life settlement is. We've talked about how, you know, people can make so much money and it doesn't take very much effort. You know, the money is there. People just have to wait for it. However, we always have to talk about the three risks because going into this, people know these. They need to know these things. They need to know what they're getting into. And when you look at the risks, it's almost, and I hate to use this term also.
It's a small risk.
They're small risks, and I think people, they almost blow them off 9 times out of 10 because they are so small, but you do let people know. So what are the three risks?
Okay, the first risk, the biggest risk of anybody, is it could go over, and sometimes policies do go over. So instead of getting paid in 24, you may not get paid for a year later or 2 years later. But you're still going to get your interest. You're still going to get your principal. And remember also, we haven't talked about that day, they must be an accredited investor. They've got to either make $200,000 a year or they must have $1 million in assets without their home. And a lot of people forget what all the assets are. If you've got a ranch, if you've got cattle, you know, all these things you can count because they are assets. They're on your financial statements, you know. Your 401, your IRA, your savings account, rent houses, all of this can be counted toward that on your financials. Getting back to this, if you have either one of those, you can qualify. I had a lot of people calling this week and saying, I am an accredited investor. So they had been listening, and they knew what I said it took, and they said, I'm an accredited investor. Mm-hmm. So those people are meeting with us next week. Now then, the second risk is it's not liquid during the time it's invested. And everybody knows that because if you give us the money, we're buying that policy with it. So when the policy matures, it goes back to cash again. Then you can draw money out or you know, whatever you need to do or just roll it over, which most people are rolling it over. Then the third risk is if a life insurance company ever went under. And in Texas, we've never had one not pay a claim in Texas. So we don't think that would ever happen because these are A and AA rated companies with billions and billions in capital.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the three risks. And so, we always have to tell people about.
And with that third one, I don't think a lot of people worry about it because it is so, it's almost far-fetched. But if a company was to go under, there's so much money involved in this. There's always a long line of people or other companies or entities or whatever that would come in and buy them and take over, and everything would be fine. So really, in reality, it's like there's a plan B and a plan C and a plan D for a very low risk that probably won't even happen anyway. But it's got to be comforting to people to realize, hey, I don't have to worry about this. I just wait for it. And so I think the thing that people need to know also is that this is not just one of these things that people do one time. You know, the minimum is, what's the minimum amount to get involved
in the life center? The minimum is $100,000.
Okay. So we're not talking about a ton of money here. And is it accurate to say that a lot of people come in, they may put in the $100,000 the first go around, realize how great an opportunity this is to make some money with very low worries, with very low risks. They just have to wait for it. They realize, hey, this is really even better than I thought going in. They just get their feet wet with one. And then do they usually put in a couple $100,000 more? Do they expand? Do they get in more?
Well, usually, after talking to me, they come and they say, well, I'm going to put $100,000. Then they spend time talking about us. And then they say, no, you know, I've changed my mind. I'm going to put $250,000 in. And that happens all the time. They put a little bit more in than what they thought they were going to. And as I said, I had a gentleman the other day had his at a bank. It was not making a dime. And so he took it all out and put that with us because the bank was not making him any money on this type of investment.
So if somebody has $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, and it's sitting in the bank, it's not making any money. We know we can do the simple math and realize how much money that money can make by doing very little. And so if somebody has $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, you can start growing that money and getting people to a better place quickly, right?
That's right. And you know, it's steady. You've got steady income, steady interest all the time, and you can do this for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you say, Alto, I've got all the money I need?
Yeah. Has anybody ever said that before?
I don't think anybody's ever said that to me. I've got all I need now.
I'm out. So
I did have somebody the other day saying we'll start taking $100,000 a year out.
Uh-huh.
And I think that might be a little excessive, but yeah, you know, it's their money.
Sure.
And $100,000 a year is a pretty big leap, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So when people have a couple $100,000, you know, whether it's $100,000 or $500,000, whatever the case is, you can get involved in this in the program. Start doing a life settlement. You can start growing that money, and people would be surprised at how quickly it grows, especially when they take the profit from one investment, roll it over. And the idea is to be diversified. So the idea is to do this plan over a few years. It's not just a one-and-done type of thing. This is a planning thing. This is a strategy for retirement. It's a strategy for growing your wealth. And so people can come in. They can put money with you. You'll invest it. You'll get it growing. And the idea is, over that period of time, whatever that may happen to be, is that there's always something happening because they are diversified. So as one policy matures, that profit goes into another, and then policy number two may come in a few months later or a year later or whatever. They take that profit, put it in another one. So there's all this leapfrogging. There's all this money that's growing. The whole time you're rolling it over, which is to the investor's benefit. You've got all this figured out. Is that basically how the big picture works?
That's basically how it works. And, you know, they just keep rolling it over, especially, you know, when it's an IRA. They don't want to take anything out, and they must take something out at 70 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But until 70 and a half, they can make money on this and not pay taxes for years.
Yeah.
And that nobody ever mentions that there's no taxes due that have to be paid if it's an IRA until you're 70 and a half. You can accumulate a lot more if you're not paying taxes on it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you've been doing this for so many years. This ain't your first rodeo. You've got this figured out.
No.
You're all over it. So you know everything that has to happen from the minute a policy shows up on your desk to the bidding process to the dispersal of the investment to the investors to how to, you know, grow it to how to make it last and make it work over, you know, a number of different policies. You got it all figured out. So for somebody who wants to come see you next week, what should they start doing like today? Day to get ready.
Well, they need to bring us all the documents. If they've got investments in five different things, bring us the documents. Let us look at it. Let's go over and see what they think after we talk.
Yeah.
And if this is for them, we will do it. We'll open them an account at Nevada Trust. We'll get them, you know, started. And get them started making money with us.
Yeah. No reason not to start making money on that money.
No. There's no reason in the world.
All right, Faye. One last time, and I know nobody's in your office today, so people will probably get the voicemail, but if they do, if they leave a message, that's okay. Leave it. You'll call them back. You'll set something up. People can come talk to you. So one last time, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And again, don't forget, 3105 Big Spring.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.